Next case for argument is Horstman v. St. Clair County. Mr. Hutnick.
May it please the Court, Mr. Garavaglia. Plaintiff is asking here, Your Honor, that the ruling of Judge Gilbert be reversed and finding that there is no adequate, meaningful remedy available to the plaintiff, or in the alternative, remand with directions, instructions, whatever it might be called, that Judge Gilbert at least take testimony from the defendant, Robert Hayda.
Now, what is it that what is it your client did that made him a sort of leper in police circles in Illinois?
Doesn't the record show that?
Yeah, because it's not.
Well, Your Honor, I thank you very much. That's why I'm here.
No,
because
it's not
we don't
here.
Know.
You don't know. You don't know.
You don't.
We don't know because they won't say.
Is there a letter?
Sir?
Is there a letter?
He contacted, he sent a letter to the Allerton Police Department.
And
we put it in there saying we will not prosecute cases in which my client is involved in one degree or another. But he didn't say why.
Psst. Did you see the letter?
Yes. Oh, yes. That's
where
all it said.
It? Where is it?
It should have been in the transcript. No, that we have no quarrel with that letter, Judge, and there is nothing else in that letter other than that.
Well, if you have no quarrel with the letter, what are we doing here?
Well, we don't know why.
Why do we have to know why?
He is because what the prosecutor has done
is said I won't prosecute any case that relies on this guy.
If an actual case is presented to the prosecutor and he declines prosecution, he has the right to do that coast to coast.
Well, you think he has no right to tell the police departments that are looking, we're going to hire him, that if you do, I won't prosecute the case?
That steps out of, it's not tied to the prosecutorial
function. Well, your answer
function.
Is yes, you think that's actionable.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, he loses his,
he
loses his absolute
so
immunity.
Does he have any idea what happened?
Who's that? The prosecutor? I would hope he did, but we don't know.
Well, I don't understand. Why didn't he? So one possibility is they have a really good reason for not using him as a witness. They may have a very good reason, in which event I don't see what kind of case he could have. But the alternative is they have a bad reason. It's something personal. It's they're trying to freeze him out of the police forces in Illinois for no good reason. But then, you know, he'd have to complain or do something or present an affidavit. Why don't we have anything like that?
Because they've never given it to us. Now, when we filed the case.
Your client must have a notion of what happened to him. He could put an affidavit and say, the reason they're trying to freeze me out of the police business is that, I'm a Lutheran or something. Some kind of improper.
Are we against
Lutheran? With all due respect to the court, I went over this with my client in a lot of ways, including less than the Queen's language, to find out what in the world did you do? He maintained, and because I was intimate with certain matters within the Belleville, Illinois Police Department, I was satisfied. There wasn't any reason. I had to conduct, from my own sense of whether I could even take the case, a due diligence, reasonable inquiry. What was it? I mean, were you caught in the alley doing something you shouldn't do?
Nothing.
We asked him. We had all of the records. We had all the records.
What about asking the prosecutor what the reason is? Did anyone do that?
All we got from the prosecutor is nothing.
I don't understand. You did ask him?
Yeah, we tried the Freedom of Information Act before the lawsuit, part of our due diligence, part of our reasonable inquiry. What we knew from the police records within the department, as we put in our brief, the man doesn't have a bad record.
So what do you want in the way of relief? You want a hearing?
We'd like it sent back. First of all,
what do you want?
We want to be able to find out from the prosecutor why.
What do you want? Do you want an evidentiary hearing?
Absolutely. Frankly, anything, I don't care what it's called. Send it back so Judge Gilbert can determine. Maybe I can depose the St. Clair County State's Attorney, which would be very interesting, to find out what did this man do.
Did you try to conduct discovery?
Counsel began to take the steps to initiate discovery, and then Judge Gilbert entered his order of dismissal, which was with prejudice, which, of course, brought to a conclusion. anything we had hoped to do. My thoughts early on was to take Mr. Hayter's deposition and be very specific and ask him, what is it? Now, if his explanation was far-fetched, it was personal, or he was doing a political favor for somebody, then I don't think that he's protected on any kind of immunity. I don't think that falls within a job description.
I believe your client has no theory as to why this letter was sent. I've never seen a case in which a plaintiff didn't have any idea what had been done to him until... I don't get that.
Well, why did he resign? Because he's the one that left the Belleville Police Department.
That's correct.
Right.
It is in the record, so I don't know if I'm within rules, but to answer Your Honor's question, there was a labor issue. There was a labor issue growing out of an incident within the Belleville Police Department where a number of officers in their own time acted stupid.
They what?
Acted stupid in their off time.
What'd they do?
They had a bachelor and bachelorette party, and they gave new meaning to the meaning of forthcoming marriage, Your Honor. And there was a labor dispute. Should somebody be punished or not? The labor dispute, the outcome was not favorable to the chief of police then. And after that, they looked for ways to drive my client out of the department.
And did the chief of police also resign?
No.
Your client was the only one that resigned.
That's correct. He was forced out.
Well, he was forced out. On the record, he resigned.
And that's exactly
why
what
happened. Why did he resign?
Yeah.
Why did he resign?
They made it impossible for him to do the job. They nitpicked him to death because they had lost that labor issue. Now, but that's my thought about it. If you're asking me, do I have accurate proof, I can't do that.
Now, look, is it your theory that he was deprived of property without due process of law?
Absolutely.
So what's the property he was deprived of?
If we were talking about his just losing the job at Allerton, I'm not here. But our position is that the prosecutor here, outside of his job description, if you will, took away a career from the man.
Well, that'd be an interference with contract sort of
Well,
thing.
Judge Gilbert alluded to the defamation, which doesn't exist. I'm familiar with defamation law. I couldn't even draft a pleading on tortious interference. Realistically, you've got a prosecutor who calls down to the chief of very small...
Your chances of winning may be small, but that's your only cause of action.
I don't think so, sir. Respectfully, the chances of winning are zero. You would be sending David out to fight Goliath without a rock or a slingshot. It's not a question of likelihood of success. It's a question of, as I understand it, what is an adequate remedy, a meaningful remedy, and you're sending me to... The home ground of the defendant, where he's got all the players, he's got the ball, and the referees, and you're saying you're going to get a fair trial, respectfully to the court. I don't think that's possible.
You don't think that the state judges are able to give you any relief?
No.
Or will not?
Pardon my cynicism, but no. I'm being very realistic about this.
Well, you have an appeal process from that. Do you think this extends to the Supreme Court of Illinois?
Well, the part of the problem is I've got a man who can't even keep a job pay-wise at a small police department, very poor, in southwestern Illinois, and they're asking me to go up as Don Quixote.
I'll enlist the American Civil Liberties Union if I were you, but I don't know. Well, we can't. The economic problem is not the one that we can remedy here.
No, but you can send it back for the hearing that we... Why did the man do it?
Administrative remedy that he might have...
No. No. He wasn't at Allerton long enough to acquire any rights pre-termination, and under Illinois law...
I'm sorry. What about post-termination? Could he have filed a complaint with...
No, he'd have had to file...
...police board or something about being forced out of his job?
No. At that time, he was still far... No reason at all, and under Illinois law, and I've been to the appellate court, Fifth District, a number of times on this, the Administrative Review Act governs, that's it, goodbye, why are we here? It's not an option. You have to file...
Administrative remedy?
Nothing. That's the only administrative remedy.
What is the only administrative remedy?
Through the Illinois Administrative Review Act of termination, that would be it. It's an administrative decision.
Well, did he invoke that?
No. It would, based on the cases that had gone up, I could not in good conscience tell him that they had the right to hire or fire for no reason or any reason at all. And if I had not argued that point so often, thank you.
Well, he had been there for 6 years, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So he wasn't a probationary.
No, not in Belleville. He was at Allerton, where he was.
Yeah,
where
I understand. Yeah, but Allerton. But I'm talking about Belleville.
No,
I'm
Belleville.
Still back on the
his record.
So you know, in terms of trying to look at a remedy, he had been there 6 years. So he had there was an administrative process.
If it's forcing him out.
Right, but then one can also file certain claims based on that. You said they were nitpicking him all the time or harassing or whatever. That's
I guess he could have done that, quite frankly, based on the facts. I was familiar with the status of the law and police departments, personnel matters. I thought he had no chance at all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hutnick. Mr. Garavaglia?
Morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. If I could just start by responding to some of Mr. Hutnick's arguments, I do believe that there are adequate remedies at law. You could start in the state courts with maybe a tortious interference claim or a libel claim.
Well, he doesn't trust the state judges. So
well, Your Honor, there are remedies to those remedies, if you will. He could move for change of venue to a different county.
I don't know why he has his faith in the federal system then.
Pardon me, Your Honor?
I don't know why he developed such a faith in the federal system.
Because of good judges like yourself.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to think that.
Or possibly filing in the court of claims. If this is a state's attorney, he'd be a state officer. If you want to bring a suit, why not try the court of claims first? Counsel admits in his brief that there is a remedy. It's just not a very plausible remedy because of the alleged impropriety that will take place. I suggest respectfully that he be made to try those avenues first, if anything, before coming to the Southern District and now coming up here.
It is required that he rise to the height of becoming a failure, at least, before he arrives.
Sure.
Well, you're relying on absolute immunity, and so when you're writing letters to other police chiefs, how is that intimately associated with the judicial phase of the criminal process?
Well,
and especially when he takes the extra step of sending unsolicited letters to potential employers, doesn't that take it outside the realm of absolute immunity?
As your honors know, there is absolute immunity for the decision not to prosecute. And it seems a little odd that if we could legally make that decision and then not communicate that decision with respect to a group of cases, the two just don't seem to fit together, and that's what I've argued in my case. How can we grant the prosecutor immunity to not prosecute these cases and then tread on his prosecutorial authority?
You ought to be able to tip off somebody and don't bother bringing one.
Sure. It could be a time-saving measure. It could be
then you're immune. No one is suing him for not prosecuting.
No, but he can't be sued for being not prosecuted. If he says, I'm not going to prosecute anyone he brings, how is that consistent with his immunity from prosecution or from liability for saying, I'm not going to prosecute? Dolly Price, ever he gets
it. It stems directly from a judicial function, Your Honor. The choice to not prosecute may have resulted in a letter, but the choice to not prosecute in and of itself is perfectly legal. And as there's not a whole lot of case law for fact situations like this.
Separation of powers.
Excuse me?
Separation of powers. It's the right of the executive to
yes,
decide.
Yes, this isn't legislative.
The purpose of immunity is that, you know, you can't be sued by the people you prosecute and are acquitted, obviously. And you can't be sued by someone who says, well, you should have prosecuted. You know, I was robbed because you didn't prosecute X. So that person can't sue you either. But why immunity from a suit by your subordinates? I don't.
Well, if there's not an immunity for this type of...
I don't understand. Why would that be?
If there's no immunity for this type of communication, Your Honor, you're going to perhaps tread a little bit on what the prosecutor can and can't do. For instance, if he... say a case...
Supposing he called the chief of police and said, I'm not going to prosecute the case because Patrolman X is a liar.
That's exactly what I was going to say. If the chief of police is in court and Mr. Horseman is the arresting officer, is going to give testimony, and my client, Robert Hayda, says, well, I'm not prosecuting this case because I've evaluated this witness. I know this witness. He doesn't really have to have a reason why he's not prosecuting it, as a case law says.
But that just means he can't be sued by the person who's convicted or acquitted or somebody else who isn't complains, who wasn't prosecuted. I don't understand why that... I mean, suppose the real reason he fired Horstman was sexual. He wanted to marry Horstman or something. So, but then he writes this letter, you know, blacklisting him. You wouldn't, would that be immune? Would that be
no, because
immune for that?
Well, first of all, Your Honor, Hayda is not the employer here. The state's attorney does not employ Horstman at all here.
Well, I don't care about that. Suppose he's blacklisting Horstman because they were boyfriends and they broke up, right? So would you be arguing absolute immunity there?
If it stemmed directly from his choice to not prosecute a group of cases, I don't understand you.
In other words, you could buy immunity from sexual harassment suits by saying, you know, you're never going to prosecute anybody that this person, you know, provides information? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think that...
Of course, if the plaintiff alleged sexual harassment, you'd have a different ballgame altogether.
Right.
That isn't what he alleged.
There's nothing alleged between Robert Hayda and Bruce Horstman.
Certainly is a problem for the plaintiff.
Yeah.
But suppose there were, right?
Yeah, sure.
Suppose there were. It would be a different case, wouldn't
different
it?
Case.
Possibly, but that's not in the record, Your Honor.
But isn't there a difference between the prosecutor deciding not to prosecute cases involving the plaintiff versus sending letters to police chiefs?
Is there a difference?
Yeah, isn't it, as it relates to immunity? Because how is that intimately associated with the judicial phase of the criminal process? You know, or do you think there's a difference?
Well, I don't think there's a difference.
Because I'm with you, absolute immunity with decision not to bring cases. But sending letters to other police chiefs, that's what really his action was.
Well, I don't think, if they were all in the room together when he said, I'm not prosecuting, and they hear that communication, would there be liability there?
Well, the point is nobody can sue him for not prosecuting. But Horstman mm-hmm. doesn't want to sue him for not prosecuting. He wants to sue him for being blacklisted. Isn't that a different animal?
Well, I understand that, Your Honor, but the only thing that I'm saying is since...
He wants to sue him for articulating the fact that he will not prosecute.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
So then,
he has a perfect right to articulate the fact that he isn't going to prosecute. And he ought to have a duty to tell the police if he thinks this is an officer whose testimony is so suspect that he himself, as a prosecutor, would be loath to sign anything that would give credence to it. That's all he asked. He did. That's what he said, as near as I can tell. I'm not going to prosecute anything this guy's got.
And actually, Your Honor, it's a little less harsh than that. Letter itself says, I'm not going to prosecute any cases that are based entirely or in substantial part on the testimony of Officer Horstman.
Right.
It's not an outright, we're not going to prosecute any cases that he's involved at all.
Well, isn't your better argument rather than absolute immunity, qualified immunity, because it's difficult for him to establish some kind of constitutional violation because of the fact that the letters are sent?
I was hoping you'd ask that, Your Honor, and yes, I believe that that is also an argument if, in the alternative, if you don't find that there is absolute immunity, because I do not believe that there is a clearly established constitutional right, as Mr. Hutnick says, there's been no substantive due process violation in this case. There's been no procedural due process violation in this case. The case law on this topic is scarce. If any, you read, there's one case that comes way out in the
night.
But
isn't that firmer ground for your to affirm this on the qualified immunity basis versus absolute immunity?
Or just the absence?
It would be a lot easier to
action.
Affirm it on those grounds.
No case.
I think it would be a lot easier to affirm on qualified immunity grounds without getting into the questions, as Honor pointed out.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Garvalia. Mr. Hutnick, you have no time. We'll give you a minute if you have anything further.
Thank you, Your Honor.
But even for qualified immunity, we've got to know why. And that's the basic problem. And
the problem is he doesn't have any kind of, I mean, he doesn't have a substantive due process claim. He doesn't have a constitutional claim here. I mean,
respectfully disagree with Your Honor in that when a prosecutor brings, I'll use the word stigma as a case law, is calling down, telling people, don't hire this person.
That's what he said. Well, he said, I just won't prosecute. Go ahead and hire him. I'm not going to prosecute any
but
case.
Certainly, the implication is there's a very good reason, either corruption or something else.
But see, if he had invoked his administrative remedy, mm-hmm. at least we'd have some basis for thinking what the for some reason to understand why he'd been fired. Yeah, I don't see how you can get to first base without that information.
Well, Your Honor, I recently tried that on an administrative review to move to take a deposition in connection with administrative review. And I got nowhere.
That's fine. Look, if you try to exhaust administrative remedies and it turns out to be futile, fine. But you have to try. You can't just make accusations against the whole administrative review process of Illinois and say, I don't have to ever exhaust administrative remedies.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you to both counsel. Next case.